Before we begin, I just wanted to remind you that the content contained in this podcast is not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Between 1999 and 2003, in the surrounding counties around Lawton, Oklahoma, at least five women who were classed as sex workers would go missing and be found in creek beds. Who killed these women is still a mystery, but that's what we're here to try and solve. This is a podcast about the women that the Lawton serial killer murdered. This is The Thoroughways, and I am Amanda Newland Davis. At this point in our story, we've covered four victims: Jane Chafton, Cassandra Ramsey, Mandy Raitt, and Janice Buono. Which brings us to our fifth and final victim that law enforcement in Lawton, Oklahoma is willing to say was likely killed by the same killer. And this woman's name is Pamela Woodring. In June of 2003, Pamela Woodring was a 34-year-old mother who had recently moved to the Lawton, Oklahoma area. What happened to her before she was found in nearby Kiowa County in June of 2003? We're not really sure. All we know is that she had recently moved from another county to Lawton. We don't even know why she moved to Lawton. Here's myself and my partner with Oklahoma Cold Cases, Jennifer Gragg, talking about Pamela Woodring's case. So Pam Woodring was 34 and presumably went missing sometime before she was found in June of 2003. We really don't know if she was reported missing, if she was missing, because there's, as far as we can tell, no missing persons report ever filed for her.
No.
She had just moved to the Lawton area from Texas County, Oklahoma, in the Guymon area, which is where she was from. You know, she moves to Lawton. I think just moved to Lawton. She got out of jail in May.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometime between May 2nd, when she was released, and June 5th, when she was found, she had moved to Lawton. And
she had moved there from Guymon.
Right.
Which is where her family is from.
Yeah, it's where she was from, as far as we can tell. I believe it's where she was buried, too. So, Pam, technically speaking, is the last of the canonical five. So, she's the last of the five publicly attributed victims that law enforcement is willing to say that the same killer probably killed.
Mm-hmm.
However, for us, she was always a bit of, you know, she was our red herring. She never quite fit the mold of the other four girls.
She is older.
She is older. She was 34 when she died. And I think the oldest the others were what? I think Janice was 29.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's 6 years. I mean, that, although I will say she didn't necessarily look 34. She did look younger.
Janice also looked younger.
She did. I would say they all looked younger than their age, really.
That's fair.
Not that they were old, but...
Yeah, but they all had an air of youngerness to them. I wonder if that's something for him.
Maybe, but, you know, they find Pam in Kiowa County, which is, gosh, how far away is Kiowa County?
It's not super far, but it's far enough away that it's weird that she ended up there. It's just west, Cooperton, where she was found, was just west of Lawton. Can we also talk about for a minute the town that she was found in, Cooperton? The population of it is 16 people.
It's like, it's not even a town. It's not.
And so they knew what they were doing, I would say. I mean, it's really, Cooperton's considered a ghost town.
Cooperton, where she was found, is 45 miles away from Lawton, which is presumably where she was last seen and where she was taken from.
I think we could...
As far as we know, yeah.
Right. And so she gets found 45 minutes away in a town that isn't really a town, that has 16 people of its population, which is interesting because of where her body was found is really close to a house in the middle of nowhere off of Highway 54.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably a thing because, you know, I lived in the country. I would notice if someone was, like, chilling down the road from my house in the middle of the night, probably. I'd have to say you would probably not dump a body where someone could see you in the daytime.
Yeah. I will say that from Northwest Cache to Cooperton is a straight shot.
It is.
Off down 54.
Yeah, I mean, even from Lawton, it's like a left and a right-hand turn, and you're there. So it's 45 miles away, but it's pretty easy to get to.
Yeah, it's a straight shot. It's not far from the Wichita Mountains.
No.
And it is in the boondocks, though.
Which is an interesting thing, because where she was found is actually really, really close to a wildlife preserve. It's really close to the Wichita Wildlife Preserve.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, I feel like it would have been better to have left her there in a place where probably no one would have found her, but he chose to leave her somewhere she could have been found.
Well, I kind of feel like he wants all of them to be found until, like, there's a certain part of him, like, he keeps it private because it's far enough away, but it's risky enough that they're going to be found, and I think he knew that.
I think he wants them accessible, one, because, you know, eventually they're going to be found, and that's probably what he wants. But two, because he can access it still, mm-hmm. the site. Like, he can still go see her body. And, you know, which is another thing that leads to the Pam might not quite fit the mold thing.
Yes.
Is that she's the only one of these girls who witnesses say they saw a semi-truck, not the whole thing, not with the trailer, just the truck itself, in the area with a Tasmanian devil thing mm-hmm. on it, I think. It was yellow with yellow cab with a Tasmanian devil on the front of it. And the FBI searched high and low, I guess, for this truck and never found it. And I'm not really sure who saw it in the vicinity of her body. Heard a lot of weird stories when it comes to Pam.
Well, and do we even know many details about how she was found?
Not really. You know, we do have an article that was in the Duncan Banner mm-hmm. newspaper that says she was discovered near Mountain Park, and she was discovered by a farmer.
Oh, farmers.
Which, yeah, once again, poor farmers. My gosh. And, you know, it does say that she had been arrested a few times in Lawton, which is saying something, because she hadn't been there very long.
One thing that Jen and I had discovered over and over again, not only in media accounts of Pamela's murder, but with media accounts of all of the girls' murders, is that the years that the media tends to say this serial killer was active in Lawton varies. Sometimes it's the media themselves having this discrepancy in the years, and sometimes it's the comments on these articles that gives us a discrepancy. We've seen these years go anywhere from 1992 to 2005, but the most common discrepancy we see is people saying that from 1999 to 2004, there was a serial killer in Lawton, which led us to be a little confused because Pamela's case happened in 2003. And according to law enforcement in Lawton, she's the last victim of the Lawton serial killer.
You know, interestingly, I think I know why people are saying the murders for the LSK happened till 2004.
Why?
Patsy LaVerne Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, I won't say that I haven't had suspicions about that. It's still open. They never actually said that it was
him.
The woman we speak about here, her name was Patsy LaVerne Leonard, and she was 23 years old when she was found in a creek in Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma, on January 1st, 2004. though presumably she had gone missing in 2003. Officially, Patsy is not in any way related to this case, but you should remember her name, because we do bring her up later in other episodes.
Pretty quick after Pam gets discovered, like 5 days later is when this article comes out, and they say that, at this point, that they're admitting publicly, yeah, we have a serial killer issue. And we don't want to get tunnel vision in saying that this girl is connected to all of that. However, there's similarities. And there are similarities. She was found naked.
Yes.
In a body of water in the middle of nowhere. Over county line.
And cause of death was?
Undetermined.
Yeah.
Manner unknown. She had alcohol in her system, but, like, she still could have drove. It was not very high.
So she wasn't like the other girls in that respect.
Right, and she had cocaine in her system, but it was, like, minimal.
Yeah, it was tiny.
Another thing that is an interesting tidbit is that I was told, and I'm going to go ahead and head this off and say that I've spoken, not at length, but I have spoken to her two surviving children, you know, a little bit. And this has not been, you know, corroborated in any sense of the word. But I have been told that, and it's interesting for me to see that, you know, the police are saying a farmer discovered the body, because I have been told that Pamela's son, shortly after she presumably went missing, before police knew she was dead, gets a call, I guess, and says, hey, your mom's under a bridge, basically, and that she had been beaten to death. And that is who saw the truck, was her son.
Huh.
Again, I can't say that that's what happened. I have no idea. But that is what I was told. And which does lead me to have some questions. Because according to the autopsy, she had no discernible trauma. But the person that supposedly called her kid said that your mom had been beaten to death.
That's terrifying.
Which, you know, if that's the case, she wasn't, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just another odd piece to this very convoluted puzzle anyway.
Yeah. Right?
Because what a weird thing to have as a rumor, really.
It is.
It's really specific. And it's just kind of odd.
Rumors, man, they go wild whenever people don't have details about things, though.
That is true.
When there's so much uncertainty surrounding a case, and the police haven't released any details, people start making things up to fill in the blanks. And I feel like that's where a lot of the rumors come from. And when you have a death like this, where there's no actual cause of death, when it's just seemingly like she disappeared from wherever she was and got transplanted to this creek and she's dead. That's all we know. The cops don't really release much else.
Nope. There's not even a ton of like actual articles about Pam.
No. There's nothing.
Whereas we had a few with the other girls, at least saying they were found. Really, there's only a couple with Pam.
With Pam, there's like one in Duncan and one went somewhere else, but the rest of the articles are all about her being connected to the rest of the girls.
Right, and they
no individual came later. Articles.
Mm-hmm. And they would come later, like a year or two later, once, you know, the police have Corey Morris as a suspect, and then John Robert Williams as a suspect. Mm-hmm. That's when, you know, those articles started coming out, because at some point, law enforcement did have a symposium with each other saying, let's compare all these cases and see if it could be one person doing all of this, which, of course, at some point they say it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Corey Morris. It's not John Robert Williams. It's none of those people. So, you know, we still have
a serial killer on the loose.
Right, right. And another thing that's interesting about Pam is that she was apparently found with a fast food wrapper.
That's right.
Near her. They didn't find any clothes or personal belongings, but they did find the fast food wrapper. And that becomes a big piece of the puzzle, because the police did have a suspect at one point who was a long-haul truck driver, but he lived in Lawton with, I believe, his stepdad. her dad, and was known to the police to frequent the motels that had, you know, the sex workers. And he apparently admits, I took her for a burger, but I didn't kill her.
Yep. Which gives them a good timeline, because if she still has the fast food wrapper on her, then we know.
Right.
It happened pretty fast after she ate, right?
Yeah, and you know, now that I say that, I'm going to
stomach content.
The stomach contains approximately 50 cc's of essentially undigested but unidentifiable food material.
That would be a burger.
That would be a burger. So, pretty quick. She died pretty quick. So, I would say this guy is probably full of crap and probably killed her, but they had no evidence. Ooh. And it's my understanding that he is deceased at this point.
I was going to mention, too, isn't Pamela different from the other girls because she's the only one who has a prostitution charge?
She's the only one that has a prostitution charge that we can pull up, that we can actually verify.
Yes.
So while the other girls may have been picked up for sex work, they were never charged. They were probably, don't do this again, and let go.
Yeah. Pamela had some criminal problems.
Yeah, which, you know, is kind of interesting because prior to her coming to Lawton, if she was doing sex work prior, it was the same situation. She was getting picked up and let go, but not charged.
Yes, because there are no other charges. And the one prostitution charge she does have, I want to say, let everyone know, it got dismissed.
It did. It did. You know, so I think she got caught up in a sting, and that's what happened. And that could have been, honestly, for a variety of reasons. She could have been living in one of those motels.
She could have been working at a massage parlor.
She could have been doing that. Yeah. So, but you know, like the other girls, that becomes her story. She was a cash road sex worker, which in and of itself is a little interesting that we're looking at these girls and saying they were sex workers, because that's one thing that we're pretty sure didn't happen, is that they were sexually assaulted.
Yeah, there are no signs that the body was messed with or, you know, disrespected or assaulted in any way. They were all pretty pristine, actually.
And, you know, and like Pam was found pretty quickly, you know, after dying, and even that examination says nothing unusual.
Mm-mm. Now, he doesn't seem to be a killer or, you know, an unsub who uses sex. It seems that the act itself is satisfactory for him.
Yeah, which is honestly interesting. I mean, to my criminological mind, is very interesting.
And if he's doing anything else, if he's masturbating, he's not doing it on the bodies.
I mean, he could have been.
And it could have been washed off.
He threw him in the water, yeah.
That's true. But see, we don't know if there's any water in the creek that Pamela was found in.
I mean, it was June. I'd venture to say that there would have been water because it's June in Oklahoma.
I hope, yeah. Unless we were in a drought, I'll have to look it up. But she was only there for a few days, right?
Yeah, it had to have been really quick.
And so she was missing for at least a day or two and nobody noticed.
I'm not sure her state with her family.
Yeah, I'm not either.
So I can't say whether or not she was one that, if she missed a couple of phone calls, that was odd. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't say that because I don't know. What I do know is that really quickly after Pamela died, one of her three children also died. Her daughter died in kind of a freak way. And it's just really sad, you know, the whole thing. Like, you just buried your daughter, now you have to bury your granddaughter. So I feel for this family, whether she was close to them or not, I feel for them.
It must have been a huge shock to have those deaths so close together and be a mother and daughter. I can't imagine what they had to deal with.
Oh, no, not even. I can't even begin to put myself in that state of mind.
And then, you know, on top of that, there were two other children left. who were mourning her mom and their sister.
I believe there were twin boys.
Yeah.
That she had. So it's just kind of heartbreaking. While Pam is the last victim, the police are really willing to say absolutely connected all of these cases.
Yes.
A couple of interesting things happen. One is that 2 months after Pamela is found, another body is found.
Mm-hmm.
In a different county, in McLean County. And this body goes unidentified for 5 years.
Yes.
But this body is found in a different way than the other girls, which is probably why they're not willing to go out on the limb and publicly say, yes, it's connected, but maybe.
Yeah.
Because the OSBI playing card does say, but maybe. These remains get found in August of 2003, on August 29th, in McLean County, in kind of a tiny place as well, called Cole.
Cole. And it's 65 miles from Lawton.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you're looking at a serial killer, you start looking at what they call, you know, the kill zone and the buffer zone and where they're comfortable leaving bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular location is like right on the edge of that before you go out of it.
Yeah, this is the most outer edged one, right? And this is the oldest, well, like the youngest case, technically, right?
It is. This victim was only 16.
Yeah.
She was really, really young. And where it does differ is the fact that she is really young. But how she was found, she was found in a ditch.
Well, they say found in a ditch, but like, how is it actually a ditch?
You know, I've heard a couple of ways. Like, I've read bar ditch, I've read ditch, I've read roadside. According to the autopsy, it says the remains were found in the east side ditch of South May Avenue, and the sheriff's department was notified. She was obviously not, I mean, she might have been buried at the beginning, but when she was found, she wasn't buried because she was discovered by a jogger. So, you know, my inclination would be to say that she was probably decently visible.
We also know she was discovered 2 months after she went missing, and she was completely skeletonized.
She was so skeletonized, she was legitimately a bag of bones.
Yeah.
When the anthropologist gets a hold of her, because, you know, they find nothing with her. It says the skeleton itself has no clothing on or with the body. No evidence of personal effects is found in any of the debris or remains. So we have a complete skeleton in a county that has no missing people, and they can't figure out who it is. And then in 2008, we get a hit via DNA and dental records, and she's identified as being 16-year-old Tanya Marie Hook.
16-year-old Tanya Marie Hook went missing from the Lawton area on or about June 30th, 2003. That's 25 days after the body of Pamela Woodring was found in Kiowa County. And we wouldn't find Tanya's body for another 2 months. And when she was found in McLean County. Again, completely different county than Lawton's Comanche County. And they wouldn't even put it together that Tanya could possibly be related to these cases for at least 5 years.
And Tanya is interesting because it is generally believed by her family and friends that she was not participating in survival sex work.
Right. So, you know, that's one of the things that gets said, you know, in her OSBI playing card, in all of the media accounts, is that she, quote, frequented the Cash Road motels and was known to police for doing so. And, you know, the last supposed sighting of her, her boyfriend says, I saw her get into a car with an older white guy and then never saw her again. However, a couple of her friends say there's no way Tanya would have ever done that, that she would have ever willingly sold her body for sex.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads us to say, maybe she wasn't doing it willingly.
Yes, because she had recently started a pretty serious relationship with a man or boy. We're not quite sure. We don't have details about him.
He's never named. In any media accounts, her boyfriend that she was living with at the time she went missing is never named.
And we would have to think that he was at least a suspect at some point, considering that they always look into the boyfriends, but I don't know how much was looked into him, and we don't know his names, we don't know his criminal history.
If he wasn't a suspect for police, he certainly was for these friends, who say, this guy's changed his story, he lied to the police, we don't know if that's the last time he saw her, and the friends say that the stories of her being a prostitute and doing all of this come from him and his relative. That the relative said that she was working as a sex worker and a stripper.
And we should mention that she was supposedly living with him and his family at the time.
Him and his grandmother.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tanya wasn't from Lawton. She was a German national
mm-hmm.
who moved there with her mother, who was apparently married to somebody in the army, which is why they end up in Lawton.
Yes.
And she hadn't been there a long time. I think she was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
You know, so she had trouble fitting in because I don't think she spoke, like, any English when she moved. Kind of had a horrible time of it. So, you know, neighbors start describing her as being troubled, but according to the friends, she didn't necessarily get along with stepdad. So much.
Yeah. Then, I mean, more than one neighbor. There are some who said they didn't really know her, but a few neighbors say she was really unhealthy, very troubled, and had run away from home a few times previously before moving out.
It is mentioned that she had run away a few times, which probably says something considering she hadn't been there very long.
No, and, you know, we don't know the mom's name. We can't find her name anywhere. We don't know the father's name, so we're not sure if there was a situation brewing there that was making it bad or uncomfortable for her to live there.
It should be stated, you know, Tanya was, like, an honor student
mm-hmm.
in school. We've seen her listed over and over again in the honor section in the newspaper.
Yes.
So it's not like she was a complete degenerate.
No, it feels like she was in a new place and she was on the outside and someone reached out to her, this boyfriend, I think, and she was probably pretty easy to manipulate.
That would be my guess. And they hadn't been together long, only about 3 or 4 months.
Which, you know, that's wild to think, you know, to let 17, 16-year-old move in with her boyfriend after 3 months. And we don't know. We read that they met in school, but that's not confirmed, so we're not sure if he was much older than her or not.
Right. Almost everything within me leads me to say that Tanya was being pimped out or trafficked or both, you know? So I don't know that she willingly went to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe boyfriend needed money. And that was his way of doing so.
Do we know about drug use?
No. I mean, we don't have toxicology because she was skeletonized.
Yeah.
Her friends in this article say that she would not have done that.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to really know.
There is no confirmation that she was involved with sex work other than the police saying she was possibly involved. In one article, they state the North Lawton area. We are assuming they mean North Cache. But
right, because they lived off of Cache Road.
Yeah.
It does seem that pretty quick that police threw her into the pool of she was a known prostitute on Cache Road.
Yeah. And so either they do that because they are just that prejudiced or they've seen her down there.
Or they've seen her. It has all the hallmarks of the other girls.
Yeah.
Naked, no trauma.
Different county,
in a ditch / creek.
I mean, for all we know, this guy's just aiming for girls who live in the Cache Road area. It may not even be a requirement that they're prostitutes.
Right. I mean, hell, any as we'll see in cases later that we've connected to this case, it's totally possible that it's just a girl walking down the road and he's like, this one looks good.
Yep. Crime of opportunity.
Right.
You know, a lot of these girls didn't drive, so they were most likely hitching rides from people.
So a bar ditch is a roadside channel dug for drainage purposes.
Yeah.
So a constructed creek. I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, and those generally will have water in them if creeks nearby have water in them.
And it was August, so...
There may have been water. But, it's hard to... Maybe there was water when he first dropped her off in June.
That's totally possible. What makes Tanya even kind of sadder than the fact that she is a murdered 16-year-old is that, you know, they had her body for so long. They had her body for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, hey, we should look and see if this missing girl is this body in 08. And they get the DNA from mom. And they get dental records from mom. And they make the identification, like, weeks after mom has died from breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mom didn't even get to live to know that they found her daughter. And it's just really a sad, sad story.
It just feels like there's no one out there for Tanya. Like, we don't have anyone. There's not even anyone we could think of to interview.
No. And that's not for lack of trying.
Yeah.
By any means, you know. We've exhausted almost everything that we could possibly think of.
Mm-hmm.
To find information about Tanya. To talk about Tanya. Can't even find a yearbook picture of Tanya. It's...
No.
It's rough. And... What a, you know, at 16, to die at 16, you already have a very small life. And now she's even further marginalized by the fact that she's being called a sex worker.
Yes.
A possible drug addict.
Yep.
Who deserves nothing more than to be left in a creek. And essentially forgotten about because there's nobody else out there to talk about her.
Everyone we know, her mother is the only person I think could think of that could actually have known her and spoken up for her. And she's gone. It just feels really, this one's really heavy.
It is. It is. And like, you know, you and I were talking earlier, she's the same age as I am. She was barely 7 months older than I was.
Yep.
So that kind of hits a little bit further home. Like, she'd be 35 right now. Almost 36. Like, her birthday would be in about a month.
She'd be full swing in her life. Like,
what would she have done?
Being as she was, as smart as she was, I feel like she could have been really successful. But it feels like someone just took her off track. Like, they ripped her from the path she was meant to be on.
Yeah. And then she just gets forgotten about, and then nobody wants to talk about it.
And there's no articles about her.
No. There weren't even articles saying, hey, this girl's missing.
And she was a... minor.
She was a minor, and she's like the exact person the media loves to talk about when they go.
Oh, except the fact that she'd ran away previously, and that apparently makes it all null and void. That if she ran away previously,
she obviously did this time.
Obviously, I mean, and that's the case often, but to not play it safe for each case, because what is it like? 1 out of 5 probably turns into a long-term missing persons case, right? Those chances, 1 out of 5, just play it safe with all 5.
You would think. Especially when it's a minor.
Yes. Like, they automatically consider teenagers, which is one of the biggest problems we have with cases with girls who go missing at a young age. A lot of them are dismissed as runaways.
Yeah. Just right off the hand. In fact...
And then it turns into this.
In fact, one of the articles that we were reading... You know, at the very end, it says that these 3 other teenagers who were girls were still listed at the time that Tanya was identified as endangered runaways.
Yes.
Which is interesting because one of them ended up being found in New Mexico and presumably killed by the West Mesa serial killer.
That's a crazy connection that people don't talk about very often.
No, because that's kind of, he kind of did the same thing there that happened in Lawton. Yes. They were all sex workers. And they're still finding bodies.
And they definitely haven't found him.
Definitely haven't found him. Like, they have some suspicions of who it could be, you know, but nothing definitive. And my God, this guy totally perpetrated kind of the perfect crime, because they were buried out in that desert for who knows how long.
Yeah.
And were lucky to have identified any of them.
Yeah. And, you know, Selania is an interesting case. She was very young.
She was 15.
Yeah. And so she was a trafficked girl.
She would have had to have been, because people even say, we have no idea how she got to New Mexico.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the case with a lot of our girls. But that is the difference with Pam, I think. I don't think Pam was pushed into sex work. I think Pam chose it.
Yeah, I think Pam went into that eyes wide open.
I do too.
It doesn't mean that we shouldn't find who killed Pam.
Yeah, but it's just another way she doesn't fit with the rest of the girls.
Correct. And, you know, at the end of Pam, and kind of with Tanya, even though Tanya's never been officially pushed into the category of absolutely a Lawton serial killer victim, we have no more victims, really, that law enforcement is willing to say, even, maybe, publicly.
Yeah, this is it.
Even though, in 2005, walking distance from where Pam's body was found, they find more human remains.
Yes.
Even that particular victim, they're not even really willing to say, maybe.
And so, we find a case loosely connected through these prostitution charges and whatever, but there are no specific details that really solidify that they're all together, because the cops don't tell us details.
Right. I mean, not that they really pushed for anybody to know anything anyway. I think if they had their way, we would have never known that any of these girls went missing and or were found possibly murdered.
Well, isn't that how the sex workers feel about the case?
That's exactly how they feel about the case. More than one has said law enforcement somehow involved, period, bar none, which would only, you know, lead to the assumptions that they don't want it talked about. They don't want it heard. And you start questioning why.
Yeah.
Why don't you want it heard? Why don't you want it known about? Because, my God, sex workers everywhere are an endangered species, you know?
Yeah.
They're easy to manipulate. They're easy to take. Because people think no one will miss them. So it's not necessarily a mark in the bad column with police officers that they can't keep these women safe who are walking the streets. That doesn't reflect on you as a police officer. But what does reflect badly is when you're not willing to say, these were victims too, something needs done for justice for them. Yeah. That reflects badly.
And even in some articles, there were some sex workers who said they weren't sure why the police never told them that there was a serial killer preying on sex workers.
Right.
No one told them.
I don't think anybody was straight with them. I think Nancy Lombardo did what she could with what she had.
Yep.
You know, but she's one person.
I feel like that the police department, in general, the people in control of the LSK case, were told to keep it all on the down low and to not talk about it.
Well, that's pretty much what happened. We know that's pretty much what happened. And those orders came from kind of on high in the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
So the end result of that is now we're here more than 20 years after the first linked killing, and we're no closer now than we were then.
And that doesn't even cover the unlinked killings that we're going to cover that we think are probably related to this bigger problem.
Right. And the bigger problem being women go missing in Lawton and they don't get found.
Not unless they're dead.
Hell, sometimes not even then.
If you have any information on this case or any of Oklahoma's cold cases, you can submit a tip to us on our Facebook page by searching Oklahoma Cold Cases in the Facebook search bar. And if you'd like to submit a tip anonymously to us, you can do so by visiting the pinned post on our page and submitting an anonymous tip in our Dropbox. We can't even see who submits these tips. They are completely anonymous. You can also reach us on our website, which is oklahomacoldcases.org, and you can click leave a comment or submit a case. Either one will reach us. If you click Throwaways Podcast at the top of our website, you can leave comments on the individual episode pages that are listed there. If you wish to support our website or our podcast, you can do so by visiting our website, which once again is oklahomacoldcases.org. Thank you for listening to The Throwaways. My name is Amanda Newland Davis. The Throwaways is a podcast featuring me, Amanda Newland Davis, and my partner, Jennifer Gragg. It is a podcast made by Oklahoma Cold Cases. You can learn more about all the cold cases of Oklahoma by visiting our website, oklahomacoldcases.org.